Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I want to read two scriptures today that I have quoted many times and in various occasions, but I want to put them together in context today. One is in the Old Covenant in Isaiah 64, verse 1 through 4. One is in the New Testament or the New Covenant, Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 33. I want to read a statement before I read either of these scriptures today, and I believe that you'll be able to come into agreement with the statement that we're getting ready to read right now. We're good at doing church in America. We're very good at doing church. We have organization taken to the very highest level that we can take it. What we're forgetting is the church is not just an organization. It is an organism. It is a living part of the spiritual kingdom of God. It's the Bible literally said that we are a building. Every Christian believer, we need to just lay the tags aside for a little while, denominational tags, because you're not going to heaven because you're Pentecostal. You're not going to heaven because you're Southern Baptist. You're not going to heaven because you're this or you're that. You're going to heaven because you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the only thing you can plead. Denominational loyalty is not a bad thing until the denomination goes the wrong way and you stay loyal to it. There is a point where you have to let every man become a liar and let God be true. The Bible tells you to check me out. Amen. Amen. Paul said he honored the Christians at Berea more than the other places he had been, because after they heard him speak, they went home and searched the scripture to see if those things that he said was true. So Christians are supposed to be biblically astute enough and knowledgeable enough to be able to try the Spirit. You can't try the Spirit, amen, to see if it's God or not God or error or truth just by the way you feel or the personality of the speaker, amen. You have to go back to the Word of God. It's kind of like that counterfeit thing. You study the truth enough that you can recognize the error. And sometimes you can't define it immediately. There's just a little flag that goes up. And you just say, you know, I better go home and check it out in the Word of God. And if you get in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is there. Immediately, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Can you say amen? It's a mighty, wonderful, more needed now than ever work of the Holy Spirit when we're living in the last days when false prophets would be many, is the word that Jesus used for what would be happening in this day that we're living. And the question is asked, are signs and wonders necessary? We're talking about a sign and wonder filled ministry, and we've usually regulated that to the past days of particular peculiar moves of God. There's a spiritual vacuum in the church for the manifest presence of God. There's no vacuum for beautiful buildings. We've got the most beautiful architectural statements to what money and people coming together can achieve. And many people see this as their success symbol. Look at our fine facility. I'm going to tell you something. If God don't show up, there's nothing man can do to make a building beautiful and ornate to attract me. I'm not attracted by architecture. When I was dying of leukemia, it took a manifest presence of God. We were meeting in a building that had been used for something else in Tampa. And God started showing up. People started seeking God, and God started showing up. And when God shows up, God shows out. Amen. How do you know if He shows up? Because He shows out. What do you mean? He manifests Himself. He manifests His presence. Hallelujah. He can't be here and just be over in the standing somewhere in the shadows. You'll find Jesus. No. He doesn't stand in the shadows over in the corner. Amen. It's almost where we've relegated Him because we're so good at doing church. We've got everything so highly organized. We are good at it. But if God doesn't show up and manifest Himself, number one, the world about us, they're never touched. Nothing ever moves them. We're declaring that our God is the true and the living God. that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. That Jesus is the only way to heaven. We make no bones about it. We're not here to debate that. We're declaring it. They asked one good Christian pastor on one of those talk shows that didn't cave in to the pressure to try to please everybody, be politically correct and socially relevant and culturally correct. And they asked him, don't you think it's awfully arrogant of Jesus to say that he's the only way to heaven? And that preacher immediately answered, not if it's true. Hallelujah. Not if it's true. Can you say amen? Why does he... Well, it is true. It is true. I am the way, he said. The truth. And he doesn't apologize for that. He hung on the cross. He shed his blood. His blood sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven. Can you say amen? Without the shedding of blood, there's no sacrifice for sin. Nothing anyone can do but what he has done. So he said, I'm the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Does it sound arrogant to a generation? Listen, folks. Hallelujah. Amen. The Christian faith stands apart because it is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. The Bible said there is no other name given under heaven unto men by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus. And that's why when the persecution began in the book of Acts chapter 4, they didn't tell them to quit going to church, practicing religion, studying theology. They said, don't preach or teach anymore in that name. The devil doesn't mind any kind of religious system that is void of that will save the human soul. But if it's something that can save, it is the enemy of all that Satan wants to accomplish. And the name of Jesus is not just powerful to save, but to deliver, to heal, and to set free. Can you say amen? In my name, you will cast out devils. In my name, you will tread on serpents. In my name, hallelujah. Praise God, there's power in that name. Authority in that name. See if you can agree with this statement before we read the scriptures quickly. Admit it or not, our Western world is now in a secular, humanistic society, meaning that man is supreme in all things. Anything that is of a spiritual or supernatural nature is relegated to the movies, the Force, and books. Harry Potter sold millions of copies and got young people interested in reading again. Bible doesn't attract them. The stories of the Bible no longer hold a place of wonder for them. But Harry Potter hooked them. Why did Harry Potter hook them? The supernatural is there. There's something beyond the physical world. There's a spiritual vacuum in a humanistic society that doesn't allow for the supernatural. And guess what? Even kids have that hunger. Even children have a hunger. We were not designed to live without God, but with God in all things. And because of that hunger, Satan says, I can feel that. I can give them something supernatural. Little boy came home from church and his mama asked him, you know, we're so far from God showing up and showing out in the 21st century. He came home from church. True story. He comes home from church. And his mom asked him, what did you learn in Sunday school today? And I can't say it like I could read it, but I think I can get the gist of it to you. He said, in Sunday school today, we heard the story of God delivering the children of Israel from Pharaoh's army. And she said, well, what did she teach you? He wanted to find out that he got it and what he had got at Sunday school. Said, well, Moses, they were trapped. They were up against the Red Sea, Mama. And then all of the sudden, the military showed up. He said there was jet planes coming. He said they were firing missiles. And they were and said the engineers of the United States Army began to build a floating barge all the way across the Red Sea. And the Marines came and held off Pharaoh's army while Israel crossed the Red Sea till they got safe on the other side. And then those planes turned loose bombs and began to bomb them. And she said, "Honey, that's not what the Bible said." He said, "I know it, Mom, but if I told you what it really happened, you'd never believe it." I mean, you know, if that's the truth, nobody's going to believe that, because that's the supernatural. That's God operating. How could God do that? How could he not if he's God? So I've told you the story many times. It's about the little boy that's sitting there, and his teacher is explaining away the miracle. Said, "You know, the reason we don't take the Bible seriously is stuff like parting the Red Sea." Said, "You know, because that now they've studied this now, and they said that it didn't really part. It was at a time of year, and there were contrary winds, that some big storm, and there was only knee-deep water, and they walked across in knee-deep water." And he said, little boy puts his hand up and waves and said, she calls on him, said, "Well, Johnny, what is your question?" He said, "And it's a greater miracle than I first believed." He said, "Because God destroyed Pharaoh, his army, his horses, and his chariots in knee-deep water." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you take the miracles away, you take God away. If you take the supernatural away, you take God away. Even if you take the supernatural out of salvation. And we have really taken the supernatural out of salvation. You walk down, you say that you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, and they tell you you're saved. You get baptized in water, get your name on the church roll. Where's the supernatural? Amen. Jesus said, "You got to be born again." He said, "How can I go back to my mama's womb?" Said, "You don't have to." Said, "This is different. This is supernatural. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is not something religion can accomplish. This is something only God can do." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. He said, "My spirit, the Spirit of God is like the wind that blows. You cannot see it. It is invisible. But when it blows, you can feel it. And you can see the result of it." Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. You got to be born again. Born from above. Yeah. Something spiritual has to occur. The Bible speaks of the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, him coming in and changing you from the inside out. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. Amen. No man comes to me except my Father, supernatural. Say it with me, supernatural. Except my Father, draw him. No man can come because of an intellectual decision, making a mental concession or confession. That's why there were 10 foolish virgins that had no oil in the lamp. But they had a profession without a possession of Christ. There was no oil in the lamp, but they said, "We're ready." But they were not ready, because when he came and said, "Go ye out to meet him," they couldn't trim their lamps. And they said, "Give us what you got." They said, "We can't give. See, I can't give you what I have, but I can introduce you to the one that gave it to me." Can you say amen? They said, "Give me what you got." They said, "No, you go to them that sell and get your own." Nobody can give you salvation. No priest and no preacher, no denomination and no church structure. Only Christ can save you. And when he does, something supernatural occurs. There's a supernatural in your eyes. Everybody say, blind eyes. See, Jesus was anointed to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that were bruised, and to open, the Bible said, the eyes of the blind. And the moment we see opening blind eyes, we think immediately of physically blind people like Bartimaeus, who sat by the wayside and said, "Jesus, have mercy on me," and opened his eyes. Or the man who came to Christ that was blind, and Jesus spit on the ground and he made mud out of his spittle and sand, and he put it in his eyes. And then he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went, and when he washed his eyes, amen, he came back seeing. We think of that wonderful, powerful, physical event that occurred. But Jesus, in the context of this scripture, quoting from Isaiah 53, he's not talking about physical eyes being opened. All of this is in the context of salvation. Can you say amen? It's not about physical healing, but spiritual illumination. Scripture said in Hebrews 10 in verse 32, after you were illuminated, you endured what? Because now, see, if you can see, you can lead other people. You can show something to somebody else. Amen. You're a direct threat to the enemy. Can you say amen? After you were illuminated, what happened? You endured a great fight of affliction. Satan fights what he fears. You brought light into that darkened city and town. Amen. And the devil fought you tooth and toenail. Praise God. Because you saw. And that means if somebody had listened to you, somebody had given you an opportunity to show them what you know in the spirit, they could come out of that prison of darkness. You know why people are not saved? The Bible said the God of this world has blinded the minds of men, lest they see the glory of the gospel and be saved. The God of this world has blinded the eyes of men, but Jesus said, I have been anointed to open the eyes of the blind. Hallelujah. Praise God. All I can do is preach and proclaim. The Holy Spirit has a part in this. He's the one that opens that blinded eye. Remember Peter? Jesus came to Peter and he said, who do men say that I am? Go to the History Channel. It's just like that today. Can you, all the speculation, surmising, amen, all of this critiquing, all of this mental activity of such intelligent people trying to figure out what God is all about. Never met him, don't know anything about the supernatural, do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. But they're going to teach religion in the highest echelons and levels of the intellect. No wonder we're in the mess we're in, the Church of Jesus Christ in America. And I'd like to say it's just some of those old line denominations, but it's in the Pentecostal church as well. There's a church in the book of Revelation says, thou hast a name that livest. You got a name that represents life and life-giving power. You got a name that represents the resurrection life of Christ. Your name represents life. But he said, but you're dead. You're dead. What astounds me today after all of these years in ministry of how many people are willing to sit where there's deadness, where all they hear every Sunday is somebody dissecting dead dogma instead of preaching a risen Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people would rather argue and debate they're right and you're wrong rather than really discover the truth and proclaim Jesus to a lost and dying world. Amen. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Jesus said he came to open the eyes of the blind, to bring illumination. So he says, Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're a prophet. Come back again, Elijah, Jeremiah. He said, well, all right. And who is he going to ask? He's not asking the physician. He's not asking the tax collector that followed them. He's asking the fisherman. The least intellectually, I'm not saying fishermen are dumb or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he doesn't necessarily a man of, yeah, don't say that, right? Don't say that. You fishermen? Both of you way bigger than me. And he's younger than me, so you don't have to be bigger than me. It means his pursuit was not theology. He wasn't part of the Sanhedrin. It wasn't part of the intellectual religionist of his day. He said, but Peter, I'm asking you, who do you say that I am? And Peter, without missing a beat, He just blurted out a truth. And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, the Anointed One." Where in the world did he get that kind of declaring faith? He thought he figured it out himself for a minute. And God reminded him, "You didn't figure this out on your own." You know what he told him? He said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. You didn't get this at school somewhere. But my Father only." And then he said something else on this rock. Not you, Peter. He said, "Thou art Peter." The word Peter, the name Peter, means pebble. It means Petrus in the Greek. And it was a term for a little rock, a little pebble. You don't build the church on a pebble. Amen. There's a whole religion thinks the church is built on Peter. But no, that's the pebble. Amen. Thou art Peter. You're just a little pebble. But upon this rock, Petrus, a granite mountain. Hallelujah. On this rock. What is the rock? The revelation of Jesus as who he truly is by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Flesh and blood didn't start this thing. Flesh and blood is not going to accomplish and bring this thing to its end. Flesh and blood didn't do that. The best I can do is preach and declare. But my target is not your head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My target is something I cannot penetrate. I cannot reach. But the Spirit of God can. And that is your heart. And when it happens in you, you know that you know that you know that you know. They can come to your door with false doctrines. They can come with all of their teachings. But you know that you know that you know that you know. How do you know that you know? Because flesh and blood didn't accomplish this in you. The Spirit of God did it. The Spirit of truth come. Hallelujah. You have an unction from the Holy One. It says in 1 John, you have a special anointing, a particular anointing concerning truth. I tried to tell my wife, I was a backslider. I got saved at 12. My mother and dad divorced. I got bitter, got an attitude, got a leather jacket, motorcycle, switchblade, and blackjack. I couldn't find brass knuckles, so I got me a blackjack. I made it homemade. I mean, I did get a bicycle chain one time. We were going to rumble back in the 60s, and I had a motorcycle chain that I put tape around, and I thought I'll bring this motorcycle chain to the fight. I hit you with a motorcycle chain. It's bigger than a bicycle chain. Amen. I got a bad attitude. But we got married, and I knew I was lost, but my wife didn't know she was lost. She thought, "I'm a good person. Take bicycle chains out to fight people and carry switchblade knives and never kill anybody or wanted to. I'm a good person." Well, if goodness can get you to heaven, Jesus didn't need to go to the cross. But he had to go to the cross. Because there's none righteous, no, not one. Not by God's standard and God's requirement. So, you know, I tried to tell my wife. I tried to tell her, "Honey, You need Jesus." Now, of all people to tell her she needs Jesus is me, who's backslid on Jesus. But I knew, because I met the Master at 12 years old. Oh, yes, I was in the back of a church. You think supernatural don't occur? Honey, I had discovered girls at 12. Wasn't nothing supernatural about that. Amen. I discovered girls. Anybody remember when you discovered you don't just throw rocks at them or, you know... Remember when you discovered girls were nice and way to go, God. Amen. Yeah, I hear that laugh. Boy, oh boy, I hear it. Amen. So I made the discovery. And then I got a note. I got a note. And from one girl gave me a note from another girl. And it said, "So-and-so likes you." And I remember them asking my dad if I had military training. I've been to a military school you know how they send boys off to these military schools? Because every time I went to church after getting that note, because I was a little short back then. I was just a short fella. Amen. But boy, I felt 10 foot tall because some gal in that church liked me. And I put on my little bow tie. I had a little bow tie. I never did wear it before. That girl liked me. I wore my bow tie. Yes, sir. I got my. There wasn't no Barry White around. I couldn't play no Barry White. But anyway, I just put on the bow tie. Did the best I could with what I had. So I'm standing up like this. And they said, "Has your son had military training?" I said, "No, he just discovered girls." And not only that, but church meant... It's the one day a week I'd go somewhere with my daddy, and my daddy could buy me a milkshake. Our budget allowed for one milkshake a week, and we got it after church on Sunday night. So I'm looking forward to going to church so I can get out of there and get my milkshake. Amen. So I got a love note. I want me a milkshake. The service is over. But let me tell you something about a Pentecostal church. Service is not over necessarily. Even if they say it's over. It may not be over. So I'm back there and I'm watching that clock. And I'm listening to the pastor. And the pastor, he had sung a song. I'll never forget the song he sung. Jesus is that, this ain't the right. He had an illustrated sermon in song. Somebody had given him an empty cigarette pack. He held it up and said, "This ain't the rock that was hewed out of the mountain, hewed out of the mountain." Talking about Daniel said, all of the kingdoms of men represented a great mountain, but a rock was brought out of a mountain and hit that big image. It come crashing down and it grew into a great mountain. Talking about the coming kingdom of our God and His Christ. Amen. He picked up somebody by the road. He picked up an empty beer bottle. He held that up. "This ain't the rock that was hewed out of the mountain, tearing down the kingdoms of our God." Then he held up his Bible and said, "This is the rock." And then he put his Bible down and said, "Jesus is the rock that was hewed out of the mountain." I tell you, they had a shouting good time, and I thought to myself, it ain't going to be long now till I get to go home and read my note again and get my milkshake. And my mind is nowhere on God or salvation. I'm 12 years old. I've discovered girls. I want my milkshake because I only get once a week. And the service is over. And I'm getting ready, looking at that door. Say, "Come on, Pop, let's go, let's go, let's go." And three ladies walk forward. One sat down at the piano, and the two other ladies, they begin to sing. "Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Come home." I didn't know I was away from home. I didn't know I was lost and away from God. Come home. I hadn't had time to sin a whole lot and be convicted. But the Holy Spirit come in that room and came after me. 12 came after me. How do you know? Because I wasn't oriented to do something, to be something. God grabbed a hold of my heart, and I came forward and received Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. Got bitter, fell away from God, but knew in my heart. See, you cannot know something, but you can never, ever, ever unknow something. Can you say amen? If you know it, it's there. Amen. Can you say amen? If you know God is real, you can go on out there and fit in with the culture and deny that. But deep in your heart of hearts, you know it. You can join with the sinners and atheists, but you will be troubled in your spirit. Because you know this is something God, flesh and blood, didn't reveal this truth. God did it. It wasn't an intellectual exercise for your brain, but something deep in your spirit and in your soul. Hallelujah. Never got away from that truth. My dad decided, I can't get him in church if I could get her in church. So he came and took my wife with him to church. I worked a night shift, and she goes to church, and the pastor makes the altar call, and she went, didn't you? She went forward, but she didn't meet Jesus. See, now if you go forward, you can't help but meet Jesus, because the supernatural has been taken out of it. Amen. We tell you when you're saved. We tell you what to do. Holy, listen, His Spirit. Supernatural's involved. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Amen. That we are what? The children of God. You can't talk it out of me. You can't teach it out of me. You can't preach it away from me. Can you say amen? Because flesh and blood didn't reveal it unto me. But God's Spirit did it. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, I didn't even get it at church. They told her, yeah, you went down, you prayed. She wasn't saved. My dad said she was. Preacher will tell you you are. You need to meet Jesus. I like that old song, I can tell you the time. I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. But I cannot tell you how, and I cannot tell you why, but we'll understand it better in the by and by. I can take you. I can tell. I'm telling you the time right now. And I can take you this afternoon to the place. That old church is still right there, brother. Amen. That altar was on that side of the auditorium. That's where I knelt. That's where I met Jesus. My wife can tell you the time. The house is still standing. Can you say amen? She just went home, was watching an old campy movie about Christ at Easter time. Who was Jesus in that movie? Jeffrey Hunter or somebody? He wasn't even a good Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. He wasn't good at acting out Jesus, but it was the Word of God incorporated into that thing and the Spirit of God that was going to be touching her heart. I got home in the wee hours of the morning on this night shift. And the light was on. And I assumed if the light is on at home, then something is wrong. What is wrong? Pamela's dead asleep when I get in. But the light's on. What is wrong? And she had a nicotine habit. And I knew something was wrong because she threw her cigarettes away. She put water on them and threw them away so she couldn't go back and get them like most of us do. Can you say? She soaked them suckers and threw them away. Are you saying that this is the big issue? No. What I'm saying is, amen, that something occurred. Nobody was pushing her, pressuring her, anything. God came to her. God spoke to her. God convicted her. And when she prayed, God saved her. And flesh and blood wasn't the big element in this thing. The Spirit of God did it. Amen. Her blind eyes came open spiritually. She saw her lost condition. She saw Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Repented of her sin, received Christ. And she had a testimony the moment I walked in the door. Honey, I've accepted Jesus. And I knew it was real because you can't unknow what you know. And I knew that I knew. And it wasn't long after that that God got a hold of me. Amen. And this time I knew what I had. And I appreciated it. Amen. And that full expression of what it means to be saved occurred in me. That mean you don't have arguments with the flesh? No, that is why I have arguments with the flesh. Amen. The Bible said in Romans chapter 7, amen, when I would do good. See, this is a saved man because only a saved man has this argument going on. Can you say amen? When I would do good, evil presents itself. I used to put it this way. Before I got saved, I went out every weekend looking for sin. You know what I'm talking about. See, these are young guys. They're saying immediately, some of you older people said, it's been a long time. Oh, yeah. Amen. Think back with me. Let's go back a ways. I went out looking for sin. I was hunting sin to get into, to satisfy the lust of my flesh and the lust of my eyes and the pride of life. But listen, when I got saved, sin come looking for me. Amen. Opportunities to sin were laid in my pathway. Huh, go figure. What a coinkadink. Huh, amen, as Popeye would say. No, it's not coincidental. Satan knows. They got a testimony. Their eyes are open because they can see. Amen. Light can come to others through them. They are God's luminaries now. They are the light of this sin-darkened world. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to trip them. I got to pull them back. I've got to persecute them. I've got to suppress them and oppress them. God says he'll lose if you will completely keep your trust in me. Stay in unity. Put your trust in me. Claim the authority of Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Don't try to do it in your strength. Don't try to do it in your religious flesh and your best efforts without the Holy Spirit is in vain. We don't argue against flesh and blood. Powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Though that we are in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Can you say amen? And if you want to know where these strongholds are, it said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the what you already have, the knowledge of God. Can you say, man, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ? What happens when that happens? People get saved. They come out of Satan's prison house of darkness. Their blind eyes come open. Hallelujah. And they make a conscious decision by an act of their will and their faith to receive Christ as their Savior. And all hell can't hold them any longer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Admit it or not, our Western world is now in a secular humanistic society. Meaning that man is supreme in all things. Anything that is of a spiritual or supernatural nature is relegated to the movies and books. That's why Harry Potter struck such a chord with young people. Because there is a spiritual vacuum in religious America. And suddenly these kids have power beyond themselves. Not only did it trigger an interest in the supernatural because of that vacuum, but also an interest in the occult in general. After the Harry Potter movies and the books, and I'm not saying they're terrible. I mean, there's a wizard and there's witches and all the Disney stuff. I understand that. But what it did, it's addressing something in the culture that in religious America, church on every corner, there's a spiritual vacuum. Where's God? Where's God? We see the church, the steeple, the stained glass. We see the crosses. We see the robes. Where's God? Where is this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Where is this Christ that walked the shores of Galilee? This Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Would church notice? Do they notice if he doesn't show up and manifest himself? As long as we get the building fund met, as long as we entertain the churchgoers with such a program and presentation, who gets saved? I talk to people all the time with a background and affiliation with some denomination or some church. Who's following Christ in this old sin-darkened world? Who's living for God? Hallelujah. Who has been illuminated, not by the PhD standing behind the pulpit, but by the Holy Spirit? Can you say amen? whose blind eyes, you couldn't talk my wife out of her salvation. Amen. 2 weeks after she got saved, you couldn't hit her with any theology or anything else to shake her, because God did it. Hallelujah. And when God does it, it takes. Someone said we've got such a mild inoculation. We've been inoculated. We've been inoculated. The Church of Jesus Christ has been inoculated against the real thing because of such a mild dose of Christianity. It's inoculated us against the real thing. There is a real. There is a genuine. There is an authentic. And it's life-changing. Can you say, man? You know what? Everybody say the supernatural. We, if you're truly saved today, have been translated out of the powers of darkness. He sets that captive free into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That requires a supernatural act of God on our behalf. Not some religious ritual we go through. This is power to overcome the enemy. This is power to follow Christ as a disciple of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's power to overcome. Wow. To them that perish, the gospel of Christ is foolishness. But to everybody who's really saved, it's the power of God. Can you say, man? It is the very power of God. It is the power of God. Hallelujah. The power of God touched your life. The power of God touched my life. Hallelujah. What drew me away from milkshakes and girls at 12 years old? Power of God. Hallelujah. I never got away from it. I could never unknow it. Amen. Intellectually, experientially, or spiritually. Hallelujah. And a day come when God watered that holy seed that had been planted in me. Can you say, man? Glory be to God. And I'm not out searching for truth. I'm not a seeker. I'm one who has found the truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Walking in that truth. Living in that truth. I believe God wants to show up and show out again. I believe where people are truly saved, we're seeing the greatest miracles that could ever occur. But I don't believe that's the only miracles that are going to occur. Amen. I want to read this quickly from the... Let me finish this because we're almost done. I'll read from the book of Acts. And you... Oh, by the... Let me finish this. I'm almost done. Everywhere... Any kind of sign and wonder, whether it be healing, what anywhere something occurs because of a spiritual vacuum, we've got to be very cautious. People want to see the living God move so bad, they'll almost run after anything without ever checking it out. And we've seen so many reproaches brought on the gospel because something will be designated and declared by so-called prophets and people are supposed to know. And if there's anything that's missing today in the church, it's discernment. Discernment. That comes with maturity. Amen. The ability to discern. Not just to say, boy, look at that. That's supernatural. It must be God. No, you better back up a minute. Hold up just a minute. As much as we declare it, promote it, and proclaim it, you better back up and check out the person and the teaching that's occurring. Amen. People run. They've tried to get me to run with them. I won't run with you to anything. Amen. I will not run to some occurrence because someone declares it God. Time will tell. The fruit of it will eventually come forth. When you find out the leader is phony, he has no allegiance to Christ, he claims all of these experiences, and even, listen, you've got to back up and you've got to take another long, hard look at it. That's why we have the Spirit of Truth. The Bible said strong meat belongs to those. And this is the church needs to grow up. Strong meat belongs. Listen, the real truth, the core issues here, the thing that made the gospel, Jesus, Jesus, and God, God. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Can you say, man, full age, full age? When it says call the elders, it's not talking about people with tags and titles. It means mature ones, people of full age. Let one prophesy. Somebody sits out there and says, I'm going to check Somebody, listen, there's not even supposed to be a prophecy given without someone of full age to judge it. In the congregation, qualified by God. Because one false prophet can wreck the whole thing. But if somebody knows the God of the Word and the Word of God, they can stand up and say, that is not correct. Oh, but they're so anointed. Truth is the truth. And it has nothing to do with whether a miracle or a sign occurs or not. Truth is the bottom line. Let God be true. Every man is subject to that truth. Strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, who by reason of the exercise of their senses, that means you have spiritual capability. Oh, the Spirit of truth is operating in you in a way that He will guide you into all truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Strong meat belongs to those that are of full age, that by reason of the exercise of their senses, there's something in you different, supernatural taking place. Not just your own ability to figure things out. Hallelujah. Amen. Are able to discern good from evil. You say that's so, it's an easy thing. No, it's not. The Bible said, no marvel if Satan himself be transformed into an angel of light. How are you, in your own personal ability alone, going to figure it out if the worst entity in the universe, the darkest, most wicked, heinous figure of the universe, presents himself as a beautiful, pure angel? The Bible said the spirit of Antichrist does already work. It happened in the first generation of Christians. And you know what? In the context of that, it says, but we have an unction from the Holy One. You know what unction means in the Greek? A special, peculiar, particular anointing. In what area? Specifically, to know truth from error, even when error looks like it's true. Feels like it's true and seems like it's true. Can you say, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try that you're qualified by the Holy Ghost in you. When you come mature enough to listen to Him and to let Him speak to you, He'll talk to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And He will teach you. In fact, I teach the Scripture, but only the Holy Spirit can teach you. It has to go beyond your intellect. Amen. Howbeit, you have no need that any man teach you. Just man doing it. Intellect to intellect. And yet He's anointed and set in the church the pastor and teacher. He anoints a teacher, but He said no man can teach you. You don't need that. Is that a contradiction? No. It means this is not just getting your brain to line up with my brain, so our brains are in cahoots. So we're in mental agreement. No, it's teaching the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, causing that Word to come off that page and get down in your heart. Can you say amen? That you know for yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, it'll jump right off that page and right into your heart. You know what? The Word of God on the page is holy. It's called Logos. It is the written Word, and it is holy because it's God's written Word. But it doesn't stay Logos. There's another word for the Word, and it's Rhema. Amen. And that's when that Word comes alive in you, and you see it for yourself. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my pathway. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm going to teach the Bible, but the Holy Ghost is going to take it off that page and put it in your heart. Glory be to God. And when you come away from church with Him illuminating you to that truth, know that you know that you know. Who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where's your credentials? Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father only. And upon this rock, the revelation, the illumination, by the Holy Spirit. This church is built on that rock, and it's supernatural. That's why it's going to overcome the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I can find my glasses, we'll finish. By the way, when the false prophet comes, he will mimic the miracles of God. He will verify the Antichrist. He will use religion and the vacuum for power in all the world religions. A power is going to come. He will deceive through lying wonders. God wants us to confirm the truth through authentic wonders. These signs shall follow them that believe. An unbelieving generation demands that a sign be given. He said, I will not do that. They're just looking for a reason not to believe. Amen. But there are serious people out there that can't figure out right from wrong, truth from error. And they need a verification. Jesus, you know what Jesus said? He said, if you don't believe me for the word's sake, believe for the work's sake. When John the Baptist declared him to be the Messiah and then doubted, if I made a wrong declaration, I'm gonna lead more people astray. I want to make sure before they kill me or do whatever they're going to do to me that what I declared about him was true. Go and ask him. I want it confirmed by his own mouth. I felt it was the Spirit of God. I said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. I want to know that what I said was true. Go ask him. Amen. When they went and asked him and said, John wants you to know. He said, go tell John. The blind see, the deaf hear, and the lame walk. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This gospel did not come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God confirmed it when it began to be preached at the gate beautiful. There sat a man who never had walked, who Peter and John came by, amen, steadfastly beholding them and expecting to receive something from them. Amen. Peter said unto him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And the lame man leapt and ran and walked and ran into the temple, running, leaping, praising God. When God shows up, God shows out. Anything that is of a spiritual or supernatural nature is relegated to movies, books, Hollywood. And I'm going to add to that, it's also relegated to the worship of demons and devils and Satan. There's power over there. There's power in that junk. Oh, I'm not talking about the stupid stuff. I'm talking about there's some real power in present day witchcraft. There's real power in the worship of Satan. There's real power. We argue against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual entities. It takes what? Supernatural armor to combat them. It takes God's own armor, in fact. Church affiliation. Satan's not afraid of it. I was saved and I was baptized and my name's on the roll. I don't care. Pentecost used to have power. The gospel came with power. People were convicted of their sin. They came running to altars to get saved. Was it Whitfield? He said, when God saved me, I felt like I was hanging by a spider web, that one little piece of web dangling over the fires of hell. I needed a Savior. Hallelujah. So we didn't create this easy believism, this cheap grace, this no supernatural involved, call it salvation. The life doesn't change. The priorities doesn't change. The heart doesn't change. We call people saved who don't want to be in church. They have no concern about God's word, God's house, or God's worship. One of our pastor's meetings, he said, we have 1,000 people that are members on the membership roll. So we can boast of 1,000 members on the roll, but we only catch about 100 on Sunday. 900 people sit at the house. We got 1,000 on the roll. And of course they've been baptized. Their attitude is worldly as anybody that's never met Christ. And that doesn't mean you get to heaven on your works, but something has to change, friend. Any man be in Christ, he's the same old sinner, dominated by the same old sins. No, he's a new creation. What was that old camp meeting song? I got up this morning and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Can you say, man, something changed? It's radical. Listen. It took about 100 years for this shift to take place, but it's happened and now we're in it. The philosophy that's also invaded the territory is well in the realm of the Christian church. So the majority of Christians in the West now look for nothing ever to happen that cannot be explained by natural means. Any experience that is spiritual can amount to no more than a nice warm feeling on one's insides that may come and go from time to time. And yes, we're attentive to be always praying for the physical healing of our people, making long prayer lists, but never seem to realistically expect healing to actually happen unless by natural means. If it does happen, we seem surprised. I can attest to that. When I had that terrible stroke and people began to pray for me, there were people shocked that I walked out of that hospital. Walked out, not in a wheelchair, but walked out. Pamela can tell you, we just shared that testimony recently at the wedding. This side of my face drooping, this arm deader than a hammer. Amen. I couldn't stand on my feet. They put one of them braces on me and said he can't go to the bathroom by himself, even if he tries to feel like it. He has to call for assistance because he may fall down because he's a stroke victim. People started praying. They started praying, and some people were shocked that the prayer was answered. They were shocked and amazed. Let's shock and amaze them. Hallelujah. Shock and awe. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to be simple, but we need some shock and awe. Wasn't there something, do you remember when the Gulf War is called shock and awe? We're going to hit them with so much, it's going to shock them. They're going to stand it all and say, Lord have mercy. What have we done? Can you say that? We don't see a person as you have, but we get blew all over the place by these missiles and these tanks and all of this smart bombs. And I believe that God wants to shock and awe this world. Yes. Hallelujah. Let all the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Wow. Nurses were shocked. Riding down the elevator with a nurse after 2 weeks after it happened in a nursing home visiting my dad. And she knew what had happened. She's dealing with people with stroke all the time. And she looked at me and she said, you know you're a miracle. Because I'm standing there with a grin, not lopsided either. My face is working. My arm is working. Hallelujah. My mouth is doing pretty good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I said, if I can't raise this arm, I'll hold it behind my back. But please let my mouth work when this is over. Hallelujah. God is so good. She said, you know you're a miracle. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. I am a miracle. God is a prayer answering God. They have a prayer list in the Pentecostal church where my wife's aunt attends, and they begin to pray. And she called me on the phone in the hospital and said, "We are praying for you. Our church is praying for you." Well, I was very glad to hear of all of that prayer because I serve a prayer answering God. Supernatural is the order of the day when you pray. Hallelujah. Got a call back when I got home and everything's okay. And Aunt Janelle said, "We were praying for you." And I told them what God did for you. And they rejoiced that Sunday morning. There was joy in the camp. There was rejoicing. Why? Because God showed up. God showed out. And it's kind of shocking, even in Pentecostal circles, because we're so good at doing church. Wow. And yes, we're attentive to be always praying for the physical healing for our people, making a long prayer list, but we never seem to realistically expect healing to actually happen, unless by natural means. If it does happen, we seem surprised. Even the most fundamental churches are of this secular bent of mind today. Although they would never admit it, the old days of thunderous revivals when tears of sorrow and joy flowed and people were physically shattered before a holy God are long gone and long forgotten. The best we can hope for anymore is for our numbers to increase, so we concentrate on church growth instead of spiritual growth and the furtherance of God's kingdom. Can anyone amen this statement today? Make no mistake about it, I want to see our church grow numerically, but not because of personality or programs and performances, but because God's power to save, heal, deliver, and set free. We're going to go out and witness and do our part, but we can't do His part. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Only He can do that. And the Lord added to the church. Just like He brought me in it and brought you in it. And you know what happens when we become part of that church? Not just this church, but the church. The Bible said you are now a building fitly framed together for a habitation of God. Hallelujah. By the Spirit. Glory to God. Amen. God's Spirit said they all come together. The true believers get together. My Spirit's going to come within them, flow to them, and flow through them. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a place on earth where I can live and move. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Wow. John, in closing, John Wimber, who played the Las Vegas circuit for 5 years. John later signed with the Righteous Brothers. When John was gripped by God in 1963, he was a beer-guzzling, drug-abusing pop musician who was converted at the age of 29. After his conversion, he began to attend church. He asked someone beside him, been on the road. He quit the Righteous Brothers because of the lifestyle. He decided, "I'm going to church." He'd been reading his Bible, so he's going to church. Wow, when you read the Bible and get to church, there ought not be this big drop in expectations. Can you say, man? And he asked someone beside him, "When do we do the stuff?" Isn't that an honest question? I mean, we're singing, we've had announcements. When do we do the stuff? What stuff was the reply? He said, "Raise the dead, cast out devils, and heal the sick." She said, "We don't do that here, we just sing about it." Is that an unrealistic expectation if you've read the Bible before you're exposed to church? In my name you'll cast out devils? You in here that want to go out and intellectually convince everybody of how right you are and of the truth, you're working without the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the energy of your flesh. No matter how well-intentioned you are, it's still the energy of your flesh. And we don't argue against flesh and blood for the souls of men. Though you are in the flesh, you are not of the flesh. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down. There's some people in my family I've been praying for years, but I'm doing more than praying for them. I'm doing battle for them spiritually. Amen. Because unless God opens their spiritually blind eyes, they will never see the glory of the gospel and be saved. But if God comes down and does in them what he did in this woman right here, she told me she met Jesus. I didn't have to tell her. She told me. God met her in the living room before I got home. I knew the way and wasn't walking in it. She didn't know there was a way. Amen. But when I got home, she knew the way, the truth, and the life. And she told me, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Amen. Flesh and blood didn't do that in Pamela, but the Holy Spirit did. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve today. Well, I'm almost done, and I should be past done. He lets you see. See, part of that illumination is not just who Jesus is, but who you are without him. He lets you see and sense your lost condition. Amen. And when you sense that, it sends shivers up your spine. Oh, you want a Savior more than you want sin. When you find the Savior, you find out you didn't need to sin anyway. Because not only does he sanctify you, he satisfies the deepest longings of your soul. You know what my family sees in me? A happy Christian. A fulfilled Christian. We gave away our champagne to a drinker. You drink it. We got water, iced tea, punch, and cola. And Jesus, hallelujah, amen. And we're happy without it. Woo! It's so good. Yeah, living water. Glory to God. God doesn't seem to be known for doing the stuff anymore. The church in the postmodern world has certainly changed, but God hasn't. He still does the stuff. So when they were threatened because of that healing at the Gate Beautiful, they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. Is the gospel threatened today because of all of the error and all of this is just the attitude in this secular world? Statistics say the church is growing in the southern hemisphere, but the church and religion is waning in the northern hemisphere. That's where we live. Great revival in certain areas. But in America, there's great religious movements. But true revival is not brought by a man or woman with an anointing. Amen. True revival, when it comes, when it hits the church, it's going to hit the body of Christ. Whether it be in a large setting, small setting, living room. Amen. There is a revival in South Vietnam today. According to Dr. Wong from Hong Kong, you can always remember that it rhymes. Dr. Wong from Hong Kong on Moody Radio, not a Pentecostal communicating system. Amen. You know what he said? There's a revival in South Vietnam. He said there are not great grand churches and big organized movements, but there are people coming to Jesus and they meet every Sunday house to house. Amen. Some of them 50, some of them 30, some of them 100, but they meet together. And he said, listen, to the moody commentator, he said, listen, he said, there's not a miracle in the book of Acts that isn't being replicated in those meetings in the name of Jesus Christ. And more people are coming into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And the commentator on Moody said, what can we do to help them? And the first thing he said is, don't go over and try to organize them. If God is doing something by his Spirit, keep your hands off and let God be God. Let the preacher preach what the Lord gives him on Sunday morning. Let God do what he designs and desires. How can we do to help them? By letting them alone. Pray for them, but let God be God. Amen. He could have went on and said, what's happening in your grandest church? any of the miracles of the book of Acts occurring anywhere in anybody. But he didn't. He just said, leave me alone and let God be God. Hallelujah. How we need. So here's what they prayed and what I've been praying with every meal that I eat. I'm adding so many prayers to my meals. Why do you do that? Because I eat regular. If I'm not fasting, I eat regular. Amen. So there's certain things I tie to every time I eat. And brother, I find that I pray several times a day. And I never miss praying that prayer. I've added people to it. My wife can tell you, we sit down to pray. She's just sitting there. She might have wanted to get out her iPad for a little while. Can you say amen? Food's getting cold because I've added. But there's a... She says her short prayer starts eating. She said he going to say his long prayer. Because I'm doing more than praying over the food. One of the prayers that I added. You know one of the prayers that I added? Acts chapter 4. Behold their threatenings. Don't teach or preach anymore in that name. They want to suppress. The gospel is suppressed in America. It's oppressed in America. It's going to get worse as time goes on. It's like that dome coming down. Not the TV dome. This is another spiritual thing. Suppress, suppress, suppress. God doesn't. That won't bother God if we won't let it bother us. Can you say amen? Listen very carefully. And they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. And he said, Lord, here's what we need from you to counteract this persecution and this oppression. Stretch forth your hand. Come on, stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand. Listen, primary miracle to heal. To heal. And that signs and wonders occur in the mighty name of Jesus. And did God accept that kind of prayer? Amen. The Bible said, and when they had prayed like that, the place where they were gathered was shaken. Hallelujah. And they were all filled. These people are already baptized. Now the Holy Ghost rose up in them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. No, God said it. That settles it, whether you believe it or not. And with great power. Say it with me. Great power. Woo! Gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This gospel did not come in word only, but in power in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. Brother, you better come because I got to stop. So I don't know about you, but I met the Master. I got saved. Hallelujah. My life changed. I struggle with my flesh because there's been a change within. The spirit and the flesh are at war with one another. Because, and that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Amen. That means that's a conflict that is supposed to exist. Amen. We crucify the flesh. It don't want to go along with what has happened inside of us, what our newborn spirit. Amen. Don't think like it. Don't act like it. Don't desire the same desires. But Paul said, I buffet my body. Sean is here. Even when you're not here, I acknowledge you. Sean read, be you buffet. He said you can also read that as buffet. I buffet my body. You can't bring it into subjection by buffeting it, but you can bring it in by buffeting it. He said, I don't fight as one that beateth the air. I'm not a shadow boxer. I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection. You feel like going to church today? You feel like going? It's not a matter of how you feel when you get up. It's a matter of your faith. It's God's day. This is God's house. He's ordained. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. You don't stop and say, let's see how. No, I'm going. Hallelujah. If I'm physically able, I'm going. I'm going to be there. God's going to meet me there. Hallelujah. Woo! Did I hand you something? I didn't. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet today? I'm going to ask a question before this song plays. If you're in this room and God is touching your heart, And God is calling you to either come back to Him like I did or come to Him. Would you just lift your hand up right now? Is God speaking to you? Is God speaking to you in this service to either come back to Him or come to Him? Either of those two reasons that He may be speaking to you. To come home, back to the Father's house, to rededicate your life. Is there anyone God is speaking to rededicate your life to Him? Anyone in this building, just lift it up and take it down and let God see it in this holy moment, this holy time. Is there anyone here that does not know Christ as your Savior? And you need to know Him today. I'm not talking about, see, I don't know. I know certain people here's church affiliation. I don't know everyone's background. But I know that we all need Jesus. Anyone here? Anyone here in this holy moment? If not, how many people in this room as Christians, you that are Christian, you want to be absolutely committed to follow Jesus Christ in these last days, no matter what. In this room, you want that. You know what that means? That means down in your spirit, you're saying, and I've used this illustration many times, but it's so fitting to what the Spirit is telling us this very morning. Somewhere from New York City headed to Europe, there is a transatlantic flight. Right now in the air, there's a plane headed for England, France, the European continent, from the city of New York, possibly even from Atlanta, but surely from New York, LaGuardia. There is a pilot and a co-pilot. And there's a crew member called the navigator. And he's keeping track of exactly where they are over the ocean. And there is a point, Brother Taylor, when the navigator will make a declaration to the pilot of that plane. He is watching their progression toward that continent. And they're over water, so you can't just sit down. You got to go back or go on. You got to go back or you got to go on. And there's a point when you're midway and you report we're past the midway point. And that means no matter what occurs, headwinds, engine trouble, doesn't matter what occurs from that point, it's closer to go on than it is to go back. So you just say, I'm sold out to go to my destination. Hallelujah. How many people in here are just sold out today? Praise God. How many glad you came to church anyway? Drug that old carcass up, got it down here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many will stand with me? You know, sometimes I feel so limited because we're very small and my influence is very limited. But I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, Sean, by the help and grace of God, I'm going to do as long as there's breath in my body. Hallelujah. God is so good today. Let's worship Him before we leave this building. Hallelujah. Praise God. Next Saturday, Terry is cooking for men and women's. Hallelujah.